Hey, good afternoon, everybody. This is Tom McNew, another edition of our Hometown Hero. And today I am with the one and only Mr. Jess Ramos, a man of many hats, father, sheriff, Mr. Jack of all trades, I guess, at the church. We're going to learn a lot more about Jess and his family and all the great and wonderful things he's doing for the Lord's kingdom. But Jess, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. And introduce yourself to all our listeners.
Well, I go by Jess. My birth name is actually Jesus. I have a twin brother, and his name is Jose, so he goes by Joe. Well, I'm from Killeen, a large family of 10, and it's five boys, five girls, and we've been in the Central Texas area for a long time, and three of us brothers retired from DPS. My twin brother retired DPS narcotics. My brother John retired as a lieutenant with the Commercial Vehicle Enforcement with DPS, which is otherwise known as License and Weight, and I retired as a Texas Ranger there in Lampasas.
How many years were you with the DPS then?
Just a little less than 30 years.
Okay.
On paper, about 32 and a half years.
On paper. And then, so when did you, what year did you retire, officially retire from them?
I retired from DPS in 2012. And then I went and worked at myself and two, maybe, well, it ended up being three other Rangers, but it was two at the time. We ran a little agency, Horseshoe Bay Police Department, and ran that for about 3.5 years, where I was a commander over there. And then I was asked to come back and be appointed as sheriff in Lampasas, which I did. I served the last 6 months to the sheriff prior to me, and then ran for office unopposed, and took office on the 1st of 2017, and completed that term and ran the second term unopposed, and then ran this third term.
Okay. So now you've been the sheriff for 7-8 years now?
I'm going on 8 years.
8 years, yeah.
8 years.
And y'all have always lived in Lampasas right there, even when you were working down in Horseshoe Bay?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so all your family's been pretty stationary, even though you kind of bounced around a little bit. When you were with the DPS, where were you based out of?
Well, I started off with a higher patrol up in Rockwall, Texas, up by Garland.
Yeah.
And I was there for about 2.5 years, and then I transferred to Waco, Texas.
Okay.
And I was a trooper there in Waco, made it on into Copper Cove, where I remained as a trooper. Then I promoted into narcotics, a sergeant in narcotics, and went to Bryan College Station and was there for close to 6 years.
Okay.
When I promoted into the Texas Rangers and went to Cleburne for 6 months, and then Lampasas opened up, and I came to Lampasas, and that's where I finished my tenure with DPS.
Okay. Exciting career, I'm sure. And I'm sure we could spend hours just talking stories about being a trooper and all the great and wonderful things, and probably some harrowing adventures at times as well. But I have a good friend of mine who was a police officer in San Angelo, and he always talked about how the one thing about most law enforcement officers is they inevitably meet people on probably one of the worst days of their life. So as you face that kind of interaction, can you talk about how your faith life molded those interactions?
Well, I've come to realize that God's grace, His mercy, is just unbelievable in all that I've been involved. There's many times I sit back and I think I shouldn't be here. And I realize it wasn't because of me. It wasn't because of my partner. It certainly was not because I was lucky. I was graced. I was blessed. I was given something beyond luck. And to that point, I have never really considered myself as being lucky. I've always considered myself as being blessed. So when bad things happen and I see it, I've always believed that you've heard of people having a mind has an eye in it that you can't unsee. Well, I've always felt it's been deeper than that. I've always said there's things that your heart can't unsee. That's very deep, because those are the things that they create hard issues for,
sure,
not just for a police officer, but for that soldier in combat, for for a father or mother that loses a son, a daughter, those are the things that it just never go away. That's a pain you have to deal with. Well, as time goes on and you start experiencing these things, I realized, like many, that you've got to surrender these thoughts, these ugly things that run through your heart and mind. And if you don't, find some time, and if you don't talk to our Lord Jesus Christ and surrender all of these heartaches, these thoughts, these memories, these visions that you have, and you have, if you don't ask for that help, they will consume you. Yeah, I know a lot of police officers that think they're Superman, that nothing's going to trouble them, and those are the ones I worry about the most. It's those that find a faith and find a balance in their life and realize it's really, truly not about them. It's about the glory of God and centering Him in all that you do. And I find myself doing that more and more as I get older, that I've got to have His involvement in all that happens in my life. Well, through all these bad things that happened that I've experienced, I certainly found my niche, and that was to center Christ in all these bad things. And that's how I moved through life. That's exactly how I moved through life. I realized it wasn't me.
Yep. Trust in God's plan for what He had for you and the people around you.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
There's a lot of similarities, I think, with our military brothers and sisters that, you know, experience all sorts of trauma and events and in their careers. And a lot of people in this part of the world, as you know, have a direct or indirect tie to the military. And so that it's an interesting perspective to making sure that you're trusting in what the Lord has in store for you. There's a mentality, I think, with some of us in the military. I can do anything and everything. You know, I don't need help. I've got this. You know, all those cliches.
We all want to think we're 10 foot tall and bulletproof.
Yeah.
Until we're not.
There's a word for that. I think it's called pride.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. When you minimize yourself, then you learn to live.
Amen.
I will tell you, on some of these crime scenes that are just horrific, I would leave that crime scene knowing I still had a lot of work ahead of me, but there's emotions, there's anger, there's a sense of understanding that you don't know how anybody could do this. And for instance, you know, the taking of a child's life, and those are so hard on the heart. There's times I just didn't want to just go home with it. So once I pulled away from the crime scene, I'd go find an old dirt road. And I'd get out and I'd drop on my knees and I'd pray to God, take this ugly feeling, this ugly anger, pain. I couldn't travel any further till I had got that out of my system.
Yeah.
And it helped me, all the time. And all it takes is I'm a fast learner. When I need that help, then I do it again.
Yeah. That's really interesting to be humble enough and have enough self-awareness to recognize that if I do take this home, it's just going to eat at me. It's going to eat at my family. And it's really kind of the classic example, I think, of how sin affects a community. You know, you're in a situation where someone else's sin had the potential for impacting you and your family and their, you know, the friends and family of your children and your wife and so on and so forth. But you were humble enough to recognize that I can't take this home. I've got to give this to God, or I'll never get through it.
No, you're spot on there. I did not want that feeling, that anger, all that was going on. I needed to leave it right there on the side of the road, and I needed to get home, and I needed to be greeted by my wife and my baby girl with nothing but smile, and they'd say, "How is it?" And I'm saying, "Oh, everything's great." And it wasn't.
Yeah.
But it was. Yeah, that's kind of a weird balance there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was, because I left it behind.
Right.
But I knew I still had to deal with it again.
You still had the work that was associated to doing what the Lord has called you to do and the job that He's put you in. That never goes away.
It never does.
But carrying the emotional baggage that will tend to eat away at all of us if we don't turn it over to God.
I will share this with you. One time I was in Waco, Texas, and I was looking at a report. And, of course, these reports, they're not 5 pages long. When we write our investigations, they can be anywhere from 60 to 120 pages long.
Wow.
And very in-depth. And I was sitting there looking at a report, working on my report, correcting some things that I needed to. And my captain walked to the door, and I was just using a side office because it wasn't my office. And he said, "Hey, Jess, how are you doing?" And I said, "Oh, I'm doing good." He goes, "I don't know why you have received this kind of bad luck, but you're catching all of these baby deaths."
Mm.
And they were horrific. And I said, "Yeah, Captain, I don't know either." He says, "But I can't think of a better person, because the love you have for your children, your faith, the passion you have, you do excellent work. And I just want to say thank you." And I remember saying this, "You know, Captain, one of my biggest fears is that, what if I can't undo all this? What if I make it to the age of 80 and I'm facing a corner just babbling because I can't get rid of this? What am I to do then?" I'll never forget, he walked forward and he hugged me and he says, "Not you, my brother, because I have never met a cop or a ranger that puts God, Christ, in all the investigations like you do. You, I don't worry about." And I'm thinking, wow. Of course, here's my captain. I respect tremendously.
Sure.
And he walks away, but I'm thinking, I needed to hear that. And all it did was reinforce what I was doing as well. That's a story I've shared many times because, just because. I think other officers need to hear that too.
Yeah.
That, I try to, I do. I don't have a problem exposing my faith to other officers. Yeah, I try not to impose it, but if they see and hear what's going on is of a godly manner, then learn from it.
Yeah.
You know, and if you want to talk about it, I'll sit down and talk with you about it.
Have you had a lot of opportunities then to have those kinds of interactions as you, like you said, you've gotten promoted and kind of risen up through the ranks and seniority and all? I'm sure you've had instances where you've been tasked with training people and...
Yes, I have. Some of those situations that took place, I never even thought was going to happen. And I receive a call, and they say, "Hey, what are you doing?" I just got home. He says, "Can I meet with you? And we might find a location." And and what they want to know was, how do you deal with this?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Well, that's the question I've been waiting for you to ask." And then I lower the hammer. Oh, it's made a difference in many of them.
Is there a typical response from some of those young men? Are they shocked?
Yes. Disbelief.
Yeah. Okay.
They think there's more to it in me, and there isn't. I mean, what is in me is bigger than what I can explain.
Sure.
But they think I've got some kind of magic remedy on how I deal with this, and really I don't.
Yeah.
My magic remedy is not magical. It's spiritual.
Mm-hmm. How much longer are you in office now here?
Here at the end of the year, I'm leaving Limpasas, and I am going to go work for another sheriff's office.
So you want to talk a little bit about that transition? And
sure. I will be starting January 1st at the Bell County Sheriff's Office. I will be commander to their criminal investigative division. I have several investigators there, and I've been told I may be supervising a SWAT and narcotic supervisor as well, but
no pressure there.
It's definitely is a big job in that sense, but it's my forte. It's what I've done. It's what I like. Administration is tough because there's employee problems.
Sure.
And I'm accustomed to dealing with the criminal element. When they do wrong, you put them in jail, but it's a different bird of a different feather when you have to deal with an employee and you can't treat them like a criminal.
Yeah, sure.
You've got to. So it does become, there's a different kind of stress.
Mm-hmm. So how big is the criminal investigation department over there in Bell County?
I understand there's going to be 14 investigators that I'll be supervising.
A little bit bigger than the Lampasas Sheriff's Department.
Yes, sir. And so is the crime.
Well, and that's it's an interesting, I think you're going to get the dynamic of moving from Lampasas is still very much a rural county, and Bell County is much, much different than that. Although there are some rural aspects of it, but much, much more metropolitan in nature. What kind of interaction or, I guess, cooperation are you anticipating with Fort Cavazos and those folks over there?
Well, I was, of course, born and raised in Killeen, so Bell County is my home county. I know the county very well. I've always had good relationships with what was Fort Hood, now Fort Cavazos, mm-hmm. and the CID when they had that active shooter, Hassan, mm-hmm. Malik Hassan. I was the first ranger on site and the last ranger there, too. Yeah. So I've done a lot of work on that investigation. I've never had an issue with working with Fort Hood, working with CID. I've always thought I was pretty good at networking with other agencies.
Yeah. It's critical, I think, it's critical in pretty much every job, you know, being able to have those connections to other agencies, other organizations and stuff that make it easier for you to do your job. As you've grown in your involvement and your family has grown there at St. Mary's in Lampasas, can you talk a little bit about the ministries that you're involved with?
Well, I am a Eucharist minister. I do take, ever since COVID hit, my wife and I have been very involved in taking communion to the homebound, those that can't make it. So ever since then, we still do it every Sunday, right after Mass. We actually give assignments to different Eucharist ministers, mm-hmm. and then we go out and we do that. I just got off the finance committee. I was on there for, I don't know, 10, 12 years. I'm not even counting. And then my wife as well, she was a parish council president as well. So we were heavily involved. And then I've been teaching CCE there for probably same 12, 10 years. And I've seen my daughter grow through it. Now she's seeking her confirmation, and I'm one of her instructors as well. So I'm still very heavily involved. The youth program that we got going on, mm-hmm. I'm also involved in that as well. I'm also with the Knights of Columbus. Been extremely busy with that.
I think that's one of the beauties of a small parish, St. Mary's there in Lampasas. Less than, 400 families? Less than 500 families?
Roughly 400, yes, sir.
Yeah. And so it really does take the effort of the entire community to make the parish functional and viable. And now, you mentioned your twin brother, Joe, earlier, and many of our listeners will know that he's a deacon here in the diocese as well. How much pressure has he been putting on you to join a diaconate?
You know, I love my twin brother. He has never asked me to be part of it. In fact, I think he knows my stance there, because I had a father prior to Father Bonnie that was always saying, you need to pray on it, you need, you know, go to the diaconate, get it, see if you can get in the program, this, that. But I had a child that was young. I was coaching her softball and going through all that. And I know Saturdays are very busy for deacons when they mm-hmm. go to the diocese in Austin for instruction. And I wasn't ready to give that up. I still had to, in a way. My formation in God was apart from my formation as a father to my daughter. And I knew I still need to get a grip on that. So my twin brother actually said, you know, you don't have to be a deacon to lead men to Jesus. You do it just the way and you're doing a great job just the way you're doing things now. Yeah. You know, he said, I never knew why you wanted to be sheriff. And I said, I didn't. I was asked to be sheriff. And then when I was unopposed, I ran with it. But I had some goals that I needed to fulfill, and I had fulfilled them. But he then said, not long after that, he said, I don't really think it was you that put you there as a sheriff, because of the way you tell me and the way you instruct your office and how you share. And not long into being there, one of my deputies lost his wife to cancer. She was 29 years old.
Wow.
And then one of my other deputies that was 32 years old lost her life to cancer. It was really hard on me to see these young people go through that and see their families and how it affected the sheriff's office. And we were all holding our breath, waiting for that miracle to happen. Mm-hmm. And it never did. I became more than a sheriff to them. I feel like I did. And it meant a lot to me, and I know it meant a lot to them. I'm very, very grateful that as ugly as it was to go through, I'm very grateful that I was there for that.
Yeah. Good example of living your faith, caring for the poor and our brothers. I think that was written in a book somewhere that we have to love our neighbors as ourselves. Isn't that something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Somebody said something like that. So as you've been involved with all these things here in at St. Mary's, one of the things you and I were talking about earlier was Acts, and talk about your involvement. And for those of our listeners that aren't familiar with it, what is Acts? And what is it? What's its purpose?
It's Acts is a program. Now, I cannot tell you how the acronym goes. I've heard it several times, but I'm not one that really likes acronyms because I can't even remember them. But I will tell you that it's a program of godly men trying to lead others that are either less godly or godly. Mm-hmm. But we go on a 3-day retreat, and we might start off on a Thursday, and it ends on a Sunday. So We're probably looking more at closer to 4 days.
Uh-huh.
But every retreat that I've been to has been at Eagle's Nest there by Marble Falls. And we'll take men that maybe aren't strong believers. They know there's a God, but they haven't built a relationship with Him. And we take them to this retreat, and we talk to them. We show our faith to them. And my main objective with the retreat is to see if there's any way we can bring the Holy Spirit so that they can be touched and they can feel that awesome feeling of having the Holy Spirit surround them, mm-hmm. around them, or even touch them. That is, and then the love for that feeling when they have it to continue in that direction to try to feel it again.
Yeah.
Feel it again. And you might not ever get it again, but you got it that one time. Mm-hmm. And that one time you'll never forget. But so it's not what I would say life-changing,
uh-huh.
but it is heart-changing in the sense that it'll never leave your heart. And you'll always want to go. You'll long for it. And that is a beautiful feeling. If you have experienced that before, and I tell all men, you've got to give it a try.
Yeah.
You've got to give it a try. And the men that are there are not magical. Mm-hmm. We don't have any favor over you, but we're going to be there for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're going to walk our faith. And you're going to see the peace that we have and the love that we're trying to project to you, and you will be touched. And that feeling right there will never leave your heart.
Yeah.
And I hope you return to it again. And I hope that when times are hard, you can think back, my faith is what made me get out of it last time. I need to re-strengthen my faith. I need to touch. I need to get back in touch with my faith and my God and make that happen. So that to me is what that Acts retreat. I mean, there's a lot of it that I can't share with, but it is beautiful. And yeah. I think men should look into it. And there again, I live on God's time. It took me 10 years. They were badgering me to go, and if finally one day I decided to do it, I did have push from my twin brother. Mm-hmm. You need to try it. And when I done it, boy, was I blessed. And I said, I need to do this again. And now I'm helping. I'm one of the team leaders that helps bring these men to it. So we truly are fishermen of men. And that's what we're trying to do we're trying to bring them closer to the faith.
The acronym, I had to look it up. Adoration, Community, Theology, and Service.
Yes, sir.
But it, as you mentioned, it's a lot about iron sharpening iron, and people, men and women, collectively and individually, growing in our faith.
Yes, because there is actually a retreat for women, and the same objective, growing in the faith.
Yep, yep. And how can folks find out more about ACTS and going on a retreat?
Well, I'd be more than happy. They can contact me, and I don't have a problem in giving out my number. They can call me at 512-734-5377. That is, as a public servant, I've always made myself available to everybody. I don't have an issue with anybody giving me a call, and I hope they give me a call. I'd like to meet with them one-on-one or meet with our team leaders and see what we can do. And we'll get them lined up. We have one coming up December 5th through the 8th.
Is there still space for people to get involved? Yeah.
Yes, we are taking applications now. So okay. Please give me a call.
Yeah, and that's down in Eagle's Nest out in Burnett.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. The website, for those of you that may be looking or have heard about this for the first time, or this is the first time you've heard about it, is ACTSmissions.org. A-C-T-S, ACTS, like Acts of the Apostles, missions.org. It's very interesting. I have heard a lot about it. I've heard, obviously, many, many good things. I personally have never been on a retreat. As you and I were talking earlier, it's like, timing never seems to work out for me, and again, that's kind of sort of God's plan, I think. You know, I leave it up to Him, but it's very interesting and something that I'm definitely going to take another good hard look at. But Jess, thanks again. Appreciate you coming and joining us here in the Hometown Hero, and God bless you. And any final thoughts for our listeners?
I just say my final thoughts is this, and it's a saying it's a scripture that says, who can be against us?
If God is with us.
If God is with us.
Yeah, who can be against us?
That's awesome. That is something that I always keep to heart, as to say, I've got a partner in life, and I'm never alone. So.
That's awesome. Thanks a lot, brother.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. God bless you.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you.